Welcome to the St. Brigid's podcast. St. Brigid's is a congregation of Christ Church Cathedral, Vancouver, a community where questions are honored, faith is nurtured, and discipleship pursued. Learn more at thecathedral.ca/worship.
So this passage from John has always sounded like a vague threat to me. Maybe because I have been in the church for most of my life, and I have in the past heard this message interpreted as, God gave their only son for us, the messed up followers, and if we don't get our lives exactly right, then it was a complete waste, and we have let God down. And God only had one, so how could you? Now, this particular interpretation was generally offered through the lens of a church that was, for the most part, controlled by men who were interested in control. And I am sure that we have all heard similar versions of that sermon. And thankfully, we've now also heard sermons that counter that particular understanding. Thank God. For the most part, through most of my life, I have generally avoided this passage because I don't actually need help with knowing that I mess up. And I am very good already at helping myself to not feel worthy. And I don't actually like to feel threatened. So I just paid attention to most of the rest of the Bible. But I don't actually feel like I need to do that anymore. Because now I really like this part that says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That part actually feels really beautiful and true for me because of my relationship with Jesus through community, and in particular, this community. I have been saved, and I do not feel condemned. I have been saved from a narrow understanding of God, of gender, of sexuality, of what community looks like, of what justice can look like, of believing that my opinion is the most important one, or that I'm the most important person in the room. You have saved me from that. And that happened because you risked continuing to be in relationship with Jesus by showing up here. I used to say that this was the best, worst, hardest, most beautiful job I've ever had. Starting a church is really, really hard work. And I think even harder in a diocese that doesn't have a clue what that means or what it will take. But with the support of the bishop and of this cathedral, Andrew and I were encouraged to give it a go. And slowly, this congregation began to form. And I can remember so many Sunday evenings after agonizing through the week about what we would do, about what words we would use in the liturgy, how we would set this space, sleepless nights, and many, many texts and arguments between Andrew and I. And I would arrive here on Sunday evening with my heart in my mouth, convinced that nobody would come. And Doug Taves, of blessed memory, one of the first members of the St. Bee's discernment group, would sit across from me and just say, "It's fine, Marnie. It's all fine. People will come, and it will be fine." And I was super not convinced, but he was right. And it was better than fine. We have celebrated births and marriages and baptisms, gender transitions and chosen names. We have grieved and ate and ate and ate and served hot chocolate and ate and painted and danced, unfortunately, but we did it, and cut stars. I don't love dancing in church, but I tried to be a good sport about it. And hung stars and packed up and then released the alleluias and so much more together. And it's been hard. And we have messed up more than once. and I have made mistakes and had to come back and try again. We have moved from downstairs to up here, then out of the building entirely and into another, and then back again, and then down into this space, and then online, and now here we are again. All because you continue to risk being in relationship with Jesus by being a part of this community. And I don't hear the line in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life," as a threat anymore. Sometimes we need actual teachers to show us how to do things in a new way, and we need concrete examples for how to do it well. God gets that about us. And so we were offered Jesus, who showed up and showed us that we have choice, that we do not have to live as the world around us might prescribe, that we don't have to choose the dominant culture that still seems to insist that some get to have more power than others, that white skin is the most important, that money matters most. Rather, Jesus insists that we turn and see who we are, see who our neighbor is, and to listen to what they are saying that they need, to hold us over I, and then to act on it. Jesus teaches us to listen in order to act, and you showed me what that looks like. Other words for eternal life can be enduring, perpetual, lasting, boundless. Maybe it's not about living forever so much as it's about creating a legacy that changes the energy and the world around us, that offers another way and gives people more choice for how they might want to live, and that can be ongoing. And I think that Jesus shows up for us again and again in each other and teaches us new ways to live over and over again. The Bible is full of stories of people taking risks, trying a new way, getting it wrong, and needing to start over again. The Gospels are full of examples of the people around Jesus needing to ask clarifying questions. This is not a story about a people who got it right all the time. In fact, it's a story or a book of stories of a people who live out their full humanity by just trying new ways of being, going on journeys, getting lost, lamenting what they had, wishing they could go back, and figuring themselves out so that they can go forward. And in many ways, that has been our story here at St. Bridget's too, or at least mine, as I've learned how to be your pastor. And I really pray that this will continue to be your story as you carry on, and as you consider who and how you want to be now. And I want to say thank you for teaching me that staying in church is possible, that creating new communities is important, and that it's not just me who needs it. I know that the bulletin says that I will bless you a little bit later on in the liturgy, but I actually want to do mine now. So will you pray with me? Stand up. Let's pray together. Holy One, you have called us into being through love. You have joined us to one another in love. You have taught us what love looks like in our full humanity, in our queerness, in our bodies, in our friendships, in our disagreements, in our coming back together. You have taught us that it's possible to find love through you and in community. Shine your light upon these people so that they can see the glory of the life that you offer here in and through this community. Bless what happens here. Give them the courage to continue to risk new ways of being, new gatherings, new language for you, new ways of blessing each other. May they continue to grow in numbers, in friendship, and in faith, so that they can live more deeply into the example that you set through Jesus Christ. Help them to remember what we have learned together, but not to stop there. Help them continue to learn together and to invite new people into their learning. Bless all that happens in this place. May the people of St. Bridget's continue to tend the fire of your love that burns within them and within this church. Help them to follow the example of their patron, St. Bridget, and continue to offer healing to those who need it, to those who are told that they are not good enough or don't belong. Help this place continue to be a place of belonging. Keep them always mindful of your presence so that they might hear you in their speaking and in their listening and in the spaces in between. May your love always have residence here so that all who come are reminded of their own belovedness and worth. May they continue to shape and be reshaped by one another so that this community might be fuller in glory and joy, transformed and ready for wherever they might go next. In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God, now and forever. Amen.